right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, we're not doing that. We are doing a special episode, taking a look at this weekend's Oscars, trying to figure out what's going to win, what should win, and talking a little bit about some other things that should have been nominated. Joining me, as he has for the last few years, is Ben Miller. We have a great conversation coming up, some great picks, I think, and we'll see what happens this weekend. Before we get to the conversation, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, and don't forget to join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show, and I'm sure we'll have a lively Oscar discussion as the show is going on. So check it out. Again, it's called Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces on Facebook. We would love to have you there. And yeah, lots more Piecing It Together on the way. So we will get to that as soon as we get through these awards, which, God, when are they going to push these up to earlier in the year? March, and we're still talking Oscars. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's get into our conversation about what's going to win these Oscars. All right, Ben Miller is with us. We are going to talk about what will win, what should win, and maybe something that we think should have been nominated for this year's Oscars. Ben, how's it going?
It's going good. This is 3 years straight. I feel so special.
Yeah. Like,
I love being a part of a feature.
Yeah.
Like every year we have this, and every year I'm just like, I know all about these categories, and then I get to score and I feel like an idiot. So that's why you're here.
Hey, like we all like music, right? We all like music.
But, yeah. Like, yeah. But I mean, I feel super qualified for every category, and then I feel super unqualified for the one. That's what, it's nice to have this every year.
Yeah, well, I think we all know what's going to happen in the original score category anyway, yeah. Which, speaking of which, should we even do this episode, or should we just go take a much-needed nap? Because, like, I think we know everything at this point.
I mean, there's like, one or two categories that have any sort of interesting mystery to it. Everything else is like, well, everybody knows what's going to win. But at the same time, I mean, this was kind of like this last year. Everybody kind of knew everything that was going to happen, and it did happen that way. But still, it's still interesting to see in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of score, we don't do every category on these episodes, but we do some of the major ones, and then I include score because, of course, I'm a composer.
Of course.
Let's kick it off with score. We have the nominees, Laura Cartman for American Fiction, John Williams for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon, Ludwig Göransson for Oppenheimer, and Jerskin Fendricks for Poor Things. What do you think will win? What should win? And then give me something that you think should have been nominated.
Well, I don't think there's much mystery on what's going to win. It's going to be Göransson for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
This is going to be the Oppenheimer Oscars, just like Everything Everywhere All at Once last year was the Everything Everywhere All at Once Oscars. Like, yeah. It's going to walk away. It's not necessarily is it going to win? It's like, well, how much is it going to win?
Sure.
And those below the line categories are kind of in flux, but I don't see that in this one. It's like if something else would have been peppered in and everybody been like kind of gotten behind it, like you know, the Boy and the Heron or something like that, like everybody can kind of rally behind. There's not really that score that everybody can rally behind to kind of push to the forefront, and Oppenheimer's gonna win. Is it of my favorite of these? Probably it's close with the Fendrick score with Poor Things. I like that Fendrick score.
Sure.
But I mean, the mystery is not there. If you're talking about something I wanted nominated, I don't necessarily think it really had any sort of shot, but I kind of love the score for May December and the wackiness of it all. But if you're talking about God level scores, it's the it's Daniel Pemberton from Spider-Verse, because that was just, I'm still mad. It's so dumb that it wasn't nominated. It's so good. Especially that opening sequence where they're fighting in the museum. I'm just like, this thing is out of control.
Yeah.
And I'm still mad that it wasn't included. But alas, I'm not going to look at this and go, what a terrible year for score. Because the Göransson score is good, and it's certainly prominent. So
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Absolutely. We actually just did a top scores of 2023 episode, and in it, I mean, first of all, even though I'm usually not that big on Christopher Nolan scores, like I usually think they're just too much, but they're heavy-handed and big, and they overtake the film, but it works so well here. Yep. Oppenheimer was actually my number one, and I genuinely love it, and so it will win, it should win, all the above. Yeah. As far as something that should have been nominated, I agree with you with both of your picks. I'm going to go with an even longer shot, though, because this is one that I really loved and was in my top 10. It's No One Will Save You from composer Joseph Trapanese. Mm. This is a really tight little thriller that the score really drives it along. And it's a movie where this alien invasion just keeps coming, and that score just stays on the main character the whole time. And I just think it's a great score. And, genre films in general don't make, a big dent at the Oscars to begin with. But especially this one would have never made it. But that is my pick for something that should have been nominated. And there's a lot of other good ones, too.
My question is, if I look at this category, you're like, okay, Killers of Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things seems like a very definitely the leads. Yeah. Like John Williams obviously getting in for the Dial of Destiny score. I couldn't tell you anything about that score. It's a very unmemorable film that I found fine, but I mean, it's more just, hey, John Williams doing Indiana Jones. Is he 5 for 5? Did he get one for Crystal Skull too?
I believe so. He seems to get nominated every time out.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, hey, the guy made the Indiana Jones theme song. We got to give him something, and it's kind of silly that was the case. And I really really liked American Fiction. I don't remember the score.
See, I really did like the score, and I know a lot of my composer friends do not think it deserves a spot here. I actually, it was on my short list for my top 10 scores. It didn't end up making it. It was like an honorable mention, but it's just a very jazzy score. It's not breaking new ground, but it's really well done.
Nice.
I think that one is a better fit than the John Williams score, which again is just par for the course. John Williams, he's great, of course, but that one did not need to be here. But.
Yeah, and are you a big as far as the Boy and the Heron, is that the one?
I know a lot of
people are really writing for it.
And I still haven't seen it. So that's one category I just did not get a chance to catch up on all the nominees for. And that one I did not have a screener on, and I did not get to get out to the theater. But yeah, I want to see it, and it definitely got mentions by my guest on the top scores episode. Yeah. So yeah, I've heard pieces from the score, and it is beautiful. So. Yeah. Well, we'll move on to some of the acting categories, starting with actress in a supporting role. We've got Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. What do you think will win, should win, and what's something that should have been nominated?
Will win and should win will be Divine Joy Randolph. Mm-hmm. It's rare to see such absolute dominance from a actress in she didn't miss anywhere. There is nowhere like she's a Black American, still gets BAFTA. She gets all these Golden Globe, every single regional critics, single one, almost without exception. One gave a tie to Rachel McAdams, and they also gave it to her. It's just I've never seen such utter dominance. Not that I have any problem with it. It's an exceptional performance. But she's gonna win. She's gonna walk away with it. And all four of the people in this category outside of her know she's going to win. I can't imagine the betting on this. It's probably the lowest betting number outside of Nolan and director. We'll get to that, I know, but it's undeniable. Speaking of Rachel McAdams, that's my poor one out for. That is such a singular film for what it is, and it's obviously a film that is not directed towards me, but is so hit me in such a specific way, and I love that movie, and I love Rachel McAdams in it, and I wish she didn't campaign, and I don't think she cared, and that was not the kind of movie that was going to be a big Oscar player, just kind of the way it was positioned, but I love that performance.
Absolutely. My picks all mirror exactly what you just said. Holdovers, Divine Joy Randolph will win and should win. Rachel McAdams is the one who honestly could replace any of these other four, quite frankly. I mean, all good actresses, but yeah, Rachel McAdams was great and should have been in that list. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to Divine Joy Randolph, and she absolutely deserves it. So
yeah, and it's a great, like, hey, you know, she struggled for a while in the biz. She kind of got a little bit of prominence, working steady, and then the right role, the right time.
Exactly.
Perfect amalgamation of it coming together.
She's so good, and My Name is Dolomite. Like,
yeah, man, that's the one that was like, when she said The One Job Away, I told my wife, it was like, that was Dolomite. Like, Dolomite was the movie, like, everybody's like, hey, who's this lady? And 100%. Then she never went away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep, I don't hate it.
Yep. So, actor in a supporting role, we've got Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. What do you think will win, should win, and what should have been nominated?
Another slam dunk. This is Downey. He will win. He's not my personal preference of this group. I am mostly okay with the people in this category. Mark Ruffalo's my dude in this for this category. I thought, you know, he was in the Marvel machine for so long. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of forgets that he was like this indie darling, and he was like the every actor's actor type guy for so long. And then Poor Things come around. You go, man, he's funny and he's really, really good. And it's like, yeah, this is the Mark Ruffalo we were used to for all these years. Yeah. And it just kind of got bastardized after a while. And I just love that performance. I love that, you know, three of these performances are comedic. Like,
yeah,
it's usually so serious and everybody's so stoic and have to, you know, had these kind of roles. But it's nice. He's what I think should win. But I mean, it's going to be Downey. As far as outside of what was nominated, I want to say Charles Melton in May December, but my heart says Jamie Bell in All of Us Strangers because, like, Jamie Bell is the new, like, why has he never really gotten the attention that he's never, like,
sure,
even for Billy Elliot all the way forward, just like, man, the guy has been just delivering the goods for years and years. And he just never has the platform. He doesn't do the big flashy movies. And if he does, they're disasters, like Fantastic Four or Jumper and stuff like that. I like Jumper, but still, like, I love Jamie Bell and All of Us Strangers. I love All of Us Strangers in general, but that'll always be the one I go to.
That's a really good pick. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. But yeah, Jamie Bell is really great in that movie. Yes, you're absolutely right. Robert Downey Jr. owns this category. He will win for sure. I'm also going with Mark Ruffalo for my should win. It's the funniest performance I've seen in all of 2023.
Yeah.
He is absolutely hilarious. I think Sterling K. Brown, though, is also really, really good in American Fiction. And Ryan Gosling, I mean, he doesn't need an Oscar for playing Ken, but
I love the idea of it.
He did make a character, though, that is, you know, definitely going to be iconic going forward. And so he is great in it. So, you know, shout out to him. But yeah, definitely, I'm with you on Mark Ruffalo. My should have been nominated is Glenn Howerton in Blackberry.
He's on the near the top of my list.
He's so damn good. And you know, there's not a lot of room for a Glenn Howerton in big movies, you know. Nope. Obviously, we all love him and It's Always Sunny, but he got the perfect role with this character, and he just chews his way through the whole thing. And, you know, we'll see. I saw people on Twitter saying he should be in the American Psycho remake, which
I've heard this too, which is an interesting idea, but it's one of those, like, hey, who do you want in the American Psycho remake? It's like, nobody. I don't want anybody.
Exactly.
I don't want that remake. Like, so
correct answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, I agree.
He's so damn good.
He's really
good. Let's go to actress in a leading role. We've got Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan in Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things. What do you think will win? What should win? And what should have been nominated?
This is really the only kind of category with super competitiveness. Mm-hmm. There's been, you remember, like, was it 2 years ago when everybody's like, you know who's going to win the Oscar? It's Penelope Cruz for Parallel Mothers. And everybody kind of, like, talked themselves into it, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
People are starting to do that with Sandra Hüller, which I don't think, I think it's wishful thinking. I think it's one of those anonymous Oscar ballots, and it's like, I really like Sandra Hüller. And it's like, Okay. Okay. But stop. Like,
I think if anything, she's a split the vote situation.
I agree. Like, it's like Ross Perot, but Ross Perot was not close to being president. Like, he just was the best third choice that anybody has ever chanced. So it's between Stone and Gladstone. There's no wrong answer. Like, between the two of them, I'm not like, oh, I definitely think this one is better than the other. I think it is a better scenario for the Oscars if Gladstone wins. Because if Emma Stone gets two Oscars at this age, people can turn on her really quickly. And I don't like that narrative of, like, she shouldn't have two Oscars, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, people have this weird skewed version of what the Oscars mean for legacy and stuff like that. And giving Emma Stone two Oscars before she's 40, I don't think is something that is good for her. And I think she's too good of an actress for that to be the case. Yeah. So do I think she deserves to have two Oscars? Yeah, I probably do. But at the same time, I don't, like, Lily Gladstone, it seems like the right place for this win. So I'm going to say she should win, and I think she will. Okay. Like, the fact that she won the SAG helps, and the fact that her speech was so good, and if you saw the telecast, they had the boxes for everybody. Emma Stone lost her mind in a good way when Lily Gladstone won. So it's definitely one, like, it's a popular thing, and I think she will win. As far as who was left out, it's going to be Greta Lee till the day I die, because man, Past Lives is so good, and I'm glad. I love that it got a Best Picture nomination. I love that screenplay nomination, but it's like, man, that is so. It's not the kind of film that gets that kind of attention. The fact that it got a Best Picture nomination is kind of a win in of itself.
Yeah, but
Greta Lee is so freaking good in that movie. And she's always the one I will pour one out for. Get rid of Carey Mulligan.
Okay, there you go.
That's me.
Yeah, I mean, Greta Lee is absolutely great. I completely agree with you. I have Lily Gladstone as winning. I think it's what's going to happen. I will say, even though I think they're both great performances, I am sticking with Emma Stone for my should win.
Yeah.
Mainly because Lily Gladstone's performance, I know it's not popular to say, but it belonged in supporting actress.
You think so?
It really did. I mean, it's the Leonardo DiCaprio character's story, and she is a supporting role in that story. And so that's how the movie seems to be framed and the way that I watched it. I don't know.
Well, the way I watched it is my stomach turned every time DiCaprio's on screen. Like,
yeah, no, he's terrible.
That's the nomination. I was like, I can't, like, you give me Annette Bening in Naiad. I don't care. That didn't bug me. You put DiCaprio on Best Actor, I'm losing my mind. Like, yeah, that is a bad performance.
Let's riot. Let's freaking
Man,
riot.
Man, come on. Like, yeah. And I watched it the first time, I was a little too mean to it. I watched it the second time, I was still not as mean, but both times I'm just like, Lily Gladstone is working her ass off.
She's and the best guys, part of the movie.
And these guys are giving her nothing. They're giving her nothing. Like, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But
anyway,
but Gladstone,
she's going to win.
I do kind of like, if the Lily Gladstone wasn't here, I think Emma Stone being a slam dunk is an interesting option. But I think that the idea of a Sandra Hüller versus Emma Stone battle is really interesting to me, because I don't think, like, if Lily Gladstone was supporting and you had Margot Robbie in there instead of Lily Gladstone, that five, then I see the narrative of Hüller actually winning. I see that narrative kind of starting to emerge. But with Lily Gladstone in there, it's kind of the two-horse race, and I don't see the reality of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my should have been, I cheated a little bit. I kicked Bening and Mulligan out, and I put both Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore in for May, December. Let's go dueling leads here.
So you think you see Moore as a lead and you see Gladstone as supporting. That's interesting. It's hard to disagree with I see more of a case of Julianne Moore being a lead than I do for Gladstone being supporting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like It's one of those, like, how can you have this film without her? And her presence is such a lingering factor of everything. Like, yeah. even everything Natalie Portman does is about her. So, I mean, it never goes away.
Yeah, exactly. It's she's in the whole movie. Like, the whole movie is about the two of them playing off of each other. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a dueling lead performance. So, yeah. And they're both just so damn good. And it would have been a fun matchup there, but let's go to actor in a leading role. We've got Bradley Cooper and Maestro, Colman Domingo and Rustin, Paul Giamatti and The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy and Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. What should win? What will win? And what should have been nominated?
So, until last night, I was thinking this might actually be a race too, and then I don't think it is anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's Cillian Murphy is gonna win. It's the right. It narratively, it makes sense for what the Oscars do. As far as my should win, I think it should be Paul Giamatti. I love Paul. Like, this is a culmination type, the kind of role and actor that eventually gets the Oscar. It just happened to run into Oppenheimer. Like, mm-hmm. this is, in a normal situation, this was definitely a thing where, yeah, Giamatti having an Oscar for this role in this position makes sense. Yeah. And, but it's just the Cillian Murphy train. And I think, like, my joke is that they got to give Cillian Murphy the Oscar because he's not going to go through another season of campaigning. He's too grumpy. Yeah. Like, he'll never say, like, hey, you're going to campaign. He goes, absolutely not. Like, he's just, he's a guy who's really, really good. He's been really good for a really long time. And it feels, I love Cillian Murphy. I feel like this is a one and done nomination.
Right,
win.
Right.
Like, he'll get the win and then he'll never sniff the Oscars again, which I think he's fine with. I don't think he necessarily, this is a great example of somebody who's like, oh, you got to show you want it. And he's like, he doesn't really seem like he does, but he'll be really grateful and nobody's going to be upset with him.
Right.
So
right.
I think he will win. I think Giamatti should win. Though I'm fine with, like, it's, I think he'll have other chances. Yeah. As far as best actor, you know, I talked about All of Us Strangers and Past Lives already with Andrew Scott and TOU, but I would say them, but just to go off the beaten path, I'll say Franz Rogowski for Passages, because that's a really hard role to pull off. Like, you have to be likable, but also be the scum of the earth. And it's impossible to do and convey to people. It's like, why is this guy the way he is? And why does he keep making terrible, terrible decisions and still make all that a coherent character? And, he should get extra points for just being able to wear a crop top and an excellent performance. Also, shout out to Zac Efron, who would probably be my runner up. But
Right on. I've got Paul Giamatti as my should win, but I am still torn regardless of what happened last night at the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
I'm still torn, but I guess I'm just going to, and I'm going to kick myself if I'm wrong, but I guess I'm going to go with the popular opinion and say that, yeah, it's now in Cillian Murphy's corner and he's going to win. I guess it makes sense for him and Nolan to win at the same time after,
they're all kind of interlinked. Yeah.
Yeah. So, either one of them would be a great win here. And I am going Zac Efron for my should have been. A24 really botched the Iron Claws.
They really did.
They really did. We, of course, Ben was my guest on the Piecing It Together episode, and it's such a good movie, and everybody who's seen it's loved it, but it didn't come out until, like, literally the last couple of days of the year, and it kind of just got lost in the shuffle. And, it should be in the conversation, but it just didn't make it at all.
It's really weird. Like, it's funny because A24 obviously had different priorities for things. But then they would keep it in theaters, and all of a sudden it's a box office behemoth. Like, is it their highest grossing movie ever or something like that?
It's up there. Yeah, I forget the exact, but yeah.
Like, you don't expect a film like that to resonate with people, and it really did. And if you put it at a couple audiences, maybe release it like late November, like if it had a mirrored run to like American Fiction, where it's like, It's like the antithesis, you know, obviously they're completely different movies and completely different styles, but if it has that kind of slow burn of like, everybody was talking, like nobody had American Fiction on their minds until it showed up until, I think it was in, it was Telluride, and then it shows up and everybody's like, you know, this is a thing that we're going to be with the whole year. And it just stayed, kept that momentum. And I think Iron Claw could have had a similar trajectory, and they just decided not to do that. They just had it too late.
That's A24 for you. They always push one or two movies, and the other ones, it's like, we know we have great stuff, but you'll find it somewhere.
This is our zone of interest year. We can't focus on anything else. Yep.
Exactly. So next up is Best Director. We've got Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest. What do you got for will win, should win, and should be nominated?
Will win will be Nolan. This is the most slam dunk of slam dunks in the history of the recent Oscars. You can surprise me with something, but you cannot surprise me here. You cannot, like, not only is this is like one of those Heisman years where you're like, okay, well, this guy's definitely winning the Heisman, and it's not going to be close. Like, this is one of those, like, I want to see the vote totals to see how dominant he was.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be like, well, Nolan won. I'll throw it. You know, he's going to win, so I'll throw it. One of those type of things. Like, he's going to win. I'm not necessarily landing on the should win side of things, because it is a pretty impressive. It's a very impressive endeavor for what Nolan did. But I can't get over how Jonathan Glazer did everything for The Zone of Interest. Like, it's just... Okay. I love the chances he took, and like the lack of judgment for Nazis. Like, it's not even like in a, both sides of it all. It's just like, no, just the way, I don't say bravery, but just like the chutzpah to do the things he did and present it in that sort of way, and have the off color stuff with the girl hiding the food, and every choice he makes is really out there, and it's a really good choice, and it's the best directing I've seen in a long time. So that would be my should win, though I don't think that Nolan's a bad choice. As far as my somebody I wish was in there, it's too easy to say Greta Gerwig. But I'm going to say Greta Gerwig. Like, to take a chance on somebody. It's funny to take a chance on Greta Gerwig as a director. Like, she had two Best Picture nominees before this, and her films were financially successful. To take a chance and give her $100 million to make a Barbie movie, like, everybody was kind of on the fence about what this was actually going to be, and then it is what it is, and it's an undeniable runaway success in every single metric. So
yeah,
it's hard not to blame to give anybody else the credit for it than Greta Gerwig. She's obviously the one that should have been there, though. I do like all the nominees except for Scorsese, but the obvious choice sometimes is the right choice.
It's funny you say that about Scorsese, because I also don't really think it's well-directed either. No. And like, it's funny because we both come on different sides of that Lily Gladstone debate. And just the fact that we could have such different opinions on whether or not a character is even a main or a supporting character, like, that just goes to show how much...
Seems like a problem.
Yeah.
Like, critics I respect and people whose opinions I know are fully formed, like... I will never understand the Killers of the Flower Moon side of it.
Yeah.
I just don't like it's.
And I love him. Like, I love him. He's the best, but
he's this is not an anti-Scorsese thing. Like, he has made some of the most incredible films in the history of film. And I cannot get behind what he did. Like, it's too long. It's way too long. Leonardo DiCaprio is grossly miscast. Like, and the good he does is just not worth everything that happens. Like, I wish every time I've seen the film twice, and each time Jesse Plemons shows up from that until the end of the movie, I'm like, where's this narrative momentum that has not been here for the first 2 hours? Like,
sure.
It's a different type of energy that is not matched, and it's just not very watchable. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say that about a Scorsese film, but it is the truth.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I, of course, like you said, think Nolan is winning. No one's even close to that. And I honestly kind of think he should win. As much as it's, I like Poor Things more than Oppenheimer, but I think that as far as direction is concerned, I would stick with Nolan for this one. And for something that should have been, you said it, I'm saying it too. It's Greta Gerwig, and not in the I can't believe she didn't get nominated category, but like, just, I mean, she had a vision for this thing, and holy shit, did it work. It worked on every level. It worked.
We're going to make massive practical effects and sets and ridiculous things, and Will Ferrell's going to show up and say, call me mother, and it's going to land like perfectly. It's like, all this stupid stuff shouldn't work, and it just nails it every point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, but it's a strong, strong lineup for sure.
I agree.
But Nolan has it for sure. So that brings us to Best Picture, which we've got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. This is it's kind of a tough one. I mean, it's a big category, but I think we know what's winning. But anyway, what do you got for will win, should win, and what should be nominated?
You know, Best Picture is always so funny because people will talk themselves into a narrative to kind of drive themselves in a direction of not being boring.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no mystery here. It's gonna be Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
and I think it's the right type of film to be a Best Picture winner. Like, you look at other stuff, and everybody who's talked about Poor Things when it first came out is like, oh, that's going to win. I think that's going to win Best Picture. And it didn't feel like a Best Picture winning film, if that made any sense. Like, the way the Oscars behave, you have to be a certain type of film to be a Best Picture winner. Like, the Oscars have this kind of feeling behind it. And even the weird of it all has to be a certain way. And Oppenheimer fits pretty much everything they want. Like, auteur-driven, big-budget success, movie stars, ensemble, big cast, true story, riveting, interestingly made, technical brilliance. Like, it hits every note it's supposed to hit. And it's going to win. It's not even... I haven't even heard the, like... I haven't heard the detractors going, no, it'll be this or this, or maybe this has a chance. And it's like, nope, it's going to be Oppenheimer. And I don't think that's the right call for the Oscars to make.
Yeah.
Should it win? I'm never going to go against Past Lives if it's an option.
Mm.
But as far as like narratively, I'm Oppenheimer seems like the right thing. Barbie did. It's as cool as Barbie is, and as successful it is, the idea of it being a Best Picture winner is kind of hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Like seeing
it's throwing everything out the window, basically.
Absolutely. It's nothing the Oscars have ever done before. Like, that is I think if there's somewhere the Oscars can kind of switch things up and we're like, well, we're going to give it, you know, the Barbenheimer of it all, like, give it adapted screenplay. Like, let it win over Oppenheimer there, because that's where the Oscars will do stuff. They're like, you know, you did a good job. You're not Best Picture stuff, but we'll give you a screenplay Oscars. Get it for Gerwig, all that kind of stuff. This is an Oppenheimer win, but like I said, it will win will be Oppenheimer. Should win will be Past Lives. As far as something that just missed, I'll say Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, just because.
Okay.
I was in that theater, and at the end of the movie, I'm just like, I'm not prone to hyperbole, and this movie just ended. But it's hard to say it's not the best animated film I've ever seen. Mm. And, you know, that kind of wash over me is hard to kind of beat. Like, I knew in the moment I was not going to say, oh, this is the best thing ever, because I was like, I still have to sit with it.
Yeah.
But it's a pinnacle of animation, and I think it should have been. It's if you want to keep variety of what the Oscars does, like, if you want to be the new type of Oscars and have their best picture lineup be all these different things, which it did do a really good job of this year. Throwing an animated film in there feels like the right thing to do, and I would have loved for that to be the case.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting choice for sure, and the animation is over the top amazing, so I can see that. Yeah, Oppenheimer is going to win, no question about it. Should win is tough. I mean, you know, all the things you said about Barbie, like it's up and down, but like, I don't think so really. Anatomy of a Fall, I think, is the closest thing to Oppenheimer, as far as like what could, you know, possibly win. Yeah. I gotta go with my gut though and go Poor Things. Of the nominated movies, it is my favorite. And like, I don't think that it really even is close to Oppenheimer, you know, as far as its chances of winning, but for a should win for me personally, that's it. You talking about Spider-Verse being like a different kind of nomination. Mine is also, my should have been is also a different kind of nomination. I'm sure a lot of people would have been really pissed if this happened, but I'm going with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. It is the best concert film I've ever seen by a long margin. It is absolutely taking the medium of filmmaking to project the absolute perfect experience of one of the biggest, most impressive concert performances I've ever seen. It's insane. And I think that this would be the place to, you know, to celebrate something like that, because I think as we're seeing, you know, cinema transform, like I think concert films are going to continue to be a big part of what we see in movie theaters going forward. And I wish that some of my favorite bands would get the Taylor Swift Eras Tour experience.
It's funny because, you know, you say that and like, it's one of those where if let's say the, if it gets nominated for Best Picture or not even that, it's nominated for Best Documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think people kind of go, what the hell? Da 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 da. And then the other side goes, finally, the Oscars realizing what real people want. And it's that back and forth of, no, the Oscars are this niche little thing. No, the Oscars need to be more wide of it all. And that isn't it. That's a really fascinating pick that I like. Like, I like the idea of it. More than anything, I would have just loved the 3 days on Twitter of what that would have, what that would entail. People losing their minds and Oscar nominee Taylor Swift. I remember like, All Is Well, her little short film didn't get nominated for the Oscar, and everybody's like, this is why the Oscars don't matter. And then, and I look back on it and I'm like, I'm glad I just never had to watch the short film. But I mean, it'll something. I always look at that and like looking back, like Hoop Dreams and stuff like that, and WALL-E, and those, eventually it'll be much more normal. And I don't know when that'll happen, but it feels like the Oscars are starting to move in that direction of diversification and Best Picture, because I think it's a good thing to have. Like, the idea of having documentaries in Best Picture, which we still never had, and you know, much more, you know, we've done a great links in foreign language films being involved. And though I it's funny because I'm like, no foreign language films this year. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you have Anatomy of a Fall, which is a third of it's in English.
Yeah, that's close.
A Zone of Interest made by an English guy in Canada. And then Past Lives, made by Americans, but speaking differently, like you kind of got that balance. And I think the Oscars are better when you get more diversified, not just diversified in like across demographics, but genre demographics. Like the idea of a horror movie eventually making its way into the Best Picture thing, I think that'll be great strides. Documentaries, horror, you know, say Westerns, but I'm like traditional Westerns, but you know, that kind of thing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that brings us to the end, but I know I didn't ask you this in advance, but maybe we could just talk briefly to wrap this thing up. We know that it was just announced that there is going to be a casting category in a couple of years. What do we think, like, as far as this crop of nominees would have ended up in there? I mean, I imagine Barbie would be the winner in something like that. It seems like it anyway.
See, it's I was thinking about it. You're like, okay, so you have like Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things are the obvious. Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon are kind of like the four, like, is it going to be the best casting or most casting? Mm. I would think you look at that and you're like, Poor Things has a smaller cast than you'd think. Like, they're just, I like the Catherine Hunters and those French supporting characters are always really cool to fill out. But I mean, like, it's interesting what kind, like, the first year of it's going to be really interesting because of how they're going to approach it. Like,
yeah,
Oppenheimer, there's so many people in it. You can't deny it. And like Barbie, same thing. There's so many people. And those things are going to be, I would love, like, I was thinking this year, a nomination I would really love if the best casting was this year was like American Fiction. Mm. Like it's not the biggest casting, but it's the right casting for the roles.
Everyone feels perfect in the spots.
I would love that kind of stuff. But I mean, this does feel like I feel like the Oscars want to give Barbie something over Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. And casting would be a good place for that, just because, which is a bigger cast? Like, they're both huge cast between the two. And I know it won. I know it won SAG last night, but it's. I assume this is going to the main casting director,
right? That's what we're all kind of thinking, even though they haven't exactly clarified. But
and I wonder if there's like a Jod Williams, Diane Warren person in that we're not aware of, that everybody in the industry loves, and not necessarily like, oh, you did a good job casting, but I love this casting director. Like, I wonder if there's, you know, the politics of that, not even negative politics, just like, who loves this casting director? I couldn't tell you a casting director off the top of my head if I wanted to.
So. Avi Kaufman's the only name I remember, just because I always see it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Deep pull, I guess. But I think that wraps up the Oscars. I can't wait to watch this coming weekend. And Ben, thank you so much for doing this. Tell people where they can find you and your podcast.
It's absolutely my pleasure. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, all those type of places at Neb Is Ben. I'm on Instagram and Threads as well at neb.isben. One day I'll track that person down and force them to change it. Just because you can also find me on Letterboxd and Nebisbin. My podcast target audience is going strong. You can find me on Twitter at Target Odd Pod, target audience at Blue Sky. Wherever you get your podcast, I talk to various people about movies they are targeted by and what makes them love it, and I try to get on their level. Feel free to check out all our previous episodes, including the Isle of Dogs podcast I had with Mr. David Rosen. I have my website, icecreamforfreaks.com, with all my podcasts, all my reviews, and all the things people don't care about.
Yeah, it's a job getting people to click on things.
It's a job, man. Like the having 30 people a day look at your site on average, and I'm just like, man, really coming up in the world. 30.
The real question is when it jumps from 30 to 5,000, do you celebrate or do you think, oh, I'm getting hacked?
Well, no, like, So the funny thing is, I'm pretty consistent like in my numbers, and then I wrote my review of Maestro where I was not particularly fond of the film. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I did not do any extra promotion or anything. I don't know what happened with the SEO, but like, it took like 2 weeks for it to be my most viewed thing I've ever written. And it's still my most viewed thing ever. And I don't understand it. What did I do differently? And like, what's the thing that made, like, I'm sure you have a podcast episode. You're like, why did people care about this compared to something else? And there's just no rhyme or reason to it. I'll just take it. Like, I'll take it all day long. And if somebody wants to yell at me and say you have a terrible opinion, cool. That means you're reading my stuff. So
absolutely.
I'll take it.
That's positive. I like it. I like it. Ben, thank you so much for doing the show. We'll get you back again sometime.
My pleasure, sir.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about this weekend's Oscars. Thanks to Ben Miller for joining me on that one, and thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you are subscribed wherever it is that you're listening. We've got a lot more episodes coming your way, so if you're subscribed, you'll find out about them as soon as they come out. And if you're enjoying Piecing It Together, maybe drop us a little 5-star rating and review. That would be very helpful if you did that. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, join our Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and don't forget, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. Lots of great stuff over there, so I appreciate you just being out there listening, but if you want to support the show in that way, I would definitely appreciate that, so check it out. Again, it's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And with that said, let's close this out with a piece of music. And while I haven't won my best score Oscar yet, a film I scored did come out last year and is now available on Tubi. It is called Inexistent, and I'll play a piece of music from that score. This is a track called Visions of Us, which is a piece of the score for the film Inexistent from director Benny Flames. You can find this film for rental on Amazon as well as now on Tubi. So check it out. And I'll keep working towards that Oscar. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.